Welcome to Passionate and Practical, the art of dreaming, doing, and serving. I'm your host, Lexi, and today I have two of my favorite humans on the show, Jen and Zoe. They happen to be a mother and daughter. I met Zoe when she was 7 or 8 years old and got the opportunity to babysit for her family throughout my college years. And Jen has just been a friend and a mentor to me throughout the past 7 years. And now Zoe is 14, going on 15 or going on 24. You know, she's just a young adult these days. And I just love these two because first and foremost, they love Jesus and they are just so passionate about the gospel and being the hands and feet of Jesus. So that's why I have them on the show today. And so Jen and Zoe, thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. It's our pleasure. Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Awesome. Well, I'm so excited for this interview. First off, Zoe, why are you so passionate about Jesus?
So I would say very simply, I'm so passionate about Jesus just because he was first so passionate about me. I try to remind myself of that each and every day because at the end of the day, I don't always do the most incredible job. I'm not like the greatest Christian, which isn't the point. But I just try to remind myself and encourage myself that I was first so loved and accepted and pursued to the point of an excruciating death by my Savior. And so I just try to remind myself, like, that's how much love he gives me. So there's no reason why I shouldn't be able to be passionate about him in return.
I love it. I think you said that better than most adults could. And that's you just constantly impress me. Zoe is a world changer. She's wanted to change the world since I met her when she was 7 years old. I remember one time I was watching the kids and her siblings were in bed and me and Zoe were sitting up talking. And she was just talking about how concerned she was about their salvation, which was just such a beautiful thing at such a young age. And she was like, if something happened to Luke and Reese and Piper, do you think that God would let them into heaven? And it was just such a profound question and just an amazing thing that at such a young age, Zoe has really, really grasped what it looks like to love Jesus and serve him and really understands the gospel, which is amazing. And so obviously, Jen, you play a huge part in this and you are a homeschooled mom of four kids. So how did you get started in homeschooling and why? What's your heart behind why you do it?
How we got started and why we do it. Well, how we got started hasn't changed, but why we do it has kind of morphed a little bit. But we got started kind of out of my own educational background. I have a degree in teaching, and I taught in a private school for a year, and then I taught in public school for a year. And I kind of always just thought I would like to do that. I would, you know, I felt like I was capable of educating children. And, you know, just the world that we live in, my husband and I have made choices to where our family comes first. You know, I chose to not work outside of my home when we had our kids. His job has mainly been in our home most of our marriage. And so it just seemed natural for us to do that. It didn't seem like the weird thing, but we are a little bit strange. We do a little
bit. That is true.
We do things a lot different than a lot of people do. But I also felt very called to it. As a mom, I feel called to be that main influence in my kids' lives for as long as I can. And I want them to leave my home knowing Jesus deeply. Now, that's not up to me. That's up to the Lord and their hearts. But I want to be the one that's there daily, kind of pouring into them. And so kind of our reasonings have changed a little bit. You know, I look at initially, I think it was wanted to protect a little bit and be that main influence and just kind of looking at the schools around us and the options that we had at the time, whether between public school or private schools, which are really expensive. For us, it just made sense to do this. And now I look at it And I think, honestly, there's not anything else I'd rather be doing with my time than being here with my kids in and out, even on the really ugly days when I don't want to be here. I still want to be here. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we're all learning and growing together in that. They're seeing me real, you know, in the in and outs of our daily lives. And we get to kind of collide together and impact each other together and grow together. So I love it.
I also love it. I love your family and the way that you guys do life in a countercultural way. And you have four kids, and my husband is one of five. And then I also had, we had a young girl in grad school living with us over the past year, and she was homeschooled as well, one of four kids. And excuse me, they were all homeschooled. So my husband's family all homeschooled you guys, and just the amount of love I have for the humans that have been homeschooled, and just the respect that I have for their parents, and just the product of what I've seen in how brilliant they are is just outstanding. And I find there's a maturity, and this is not always the case, but there is a level of maturity with some homeschooled kids that I've encountered that they're just way beyond their years. And that's one thing that was y'all being one of the first families that I got really close to that homeschooled, just seeing that was one of the biggest things. And then watching the way that you just talk to your kids as though they're young adults instead of babies. I've always loved that about you, Jen, that you have conversations about hard things. And when your kids ask about difficult topics and things that they're seeing in the world, instead of closing their eyes and let's run away, let's not address it, you talk about how your family does it differently and how as Christians you want to live counterculturally. And I just absolutely adore the kind of stage that you've set the tone for and the culture that you and Rob have created for your family. So Zoe, you've always had a heart for missions and you're always looking for ways to change the world. So what's the latest idea?
So, I mean, it's a little more small, it's a smaller scale than what you've just said, but yes, I've always dreamed of impacting the world and leaving it a better place than when I entered it. And so currently with where I am right now, that's kind of focused on community. A little more towards December and this year, we've kind of talked a lot about our church, about making an impact in our community. And as a young child, I always thought of being a missionary as you have to go somewhere and do something crazy. It can't be in America, and it has to be big in order for it to like count as being a missionary. And I'm not saying that I don't ever want to do that or that, you know, I'm judging anybody that wants to do that. I think that's incredible and it's awesome that God calls people to do that. But for me right now, I've realized there's a lot of things I can do in my community right now. And one of them being my dad with some of his friends has a very exciting opportunity, and he's co-founding a plant-based restaurant called Humble near our house, and I've been given the opportunity to work there. I got hired a couple weeks ago, and I hope to start soon. And actually, thanks to Lexi, I've had just this journey of wanting to make people smile and pour kindness into their lives for about 4 years now. She helped me discover that that was something I really love to do. And so this is wonderful for me because, you know, seeing so many different people every day who may or may not know Jesus or may have difficult times outside of, you know, just the 5 minute interaction I'm going to have with them. And those 5 minutes of taking their order, I get to pour so much love into them and make them feel special and important, even if it's just 5 minutes. And I get to turn their whole day around from maybe being a really crappy and disappointing day to one where they feel valued and loved. And I think that's a really cool thing to be able to do. So that's where I am right now.
That's amazing. Yes. Congratulations on your first employment opportunity. That is really exciting and fun, and I can't wait to check it out when we're in Florida. So Jen, you have a different parenting style, as we've talked about, and you don't talk to your kids like they're babies. So, and you're willing to have hard conversations. And why do you feel like that's important? And what have you seen? What kind of fruit have you seen from that kind of parenting style?
Well, I think it's important because they're my kids that God has given me to help them grow into adults who can be successful in our culture, right? Or wherever they end up. And by successful, I don't necessarily mean monetary, those kinds of things, but just being able to be human beings that are compassionate and loving and want to go out and do things in our world. And so because of that, this is, I look at parenting my kids for these 18 years as their training ground. So I want to give them the best training that I can. And obviously that starts with teaching them about God and having a relationship with Him. And then teaching them about people and conflict and how do we resolve conflicts in positive ways, you know, and not avoid. Because a lot of times we want to avoid negative things, right? Or like you were saying, like we don't want to look at it. We don't want to talk about it. Unfortunately, there's a lot of negative in our world and we do need to talk about it because we've got to be able to equip these guys to be able to make decisions for themselves and to make good decisions. So some of the fruit that I've seen, for example, with my son, Luke, he is very much into, he wants justice. And as a young child, you know, that kind of that justice he wants for himself, right? Because that's what he knows. As we're growing as children, we're selfish. We want everything for ourselves. And so it's been, it's that consistent pursuit of his heart and knowing what can we do with this justice that's in him, because it's a good thing. It's a great quality that God's put in him. However, sometimes his reaction to wanting justice doesn't go well. And so, you know, we have to consistently sit with him and just say, first of all, we understand you. We know that your feelings are hurt or whatever the situation may be, you know, affirm where he is and then say, and we've got to be able to respond to these things that come our way in positive ways and not just react to them. And so that is a powerful way for them to grow in learning to react in positive ways. And I have seen such huge growth in Luke. And it really comes down to he knows he's loved and we're consistent with how we deal with it. And it's not hard, it's not easy. But I have seen a lot of fruit there by being willing to listen to him, you know, and let him talk and then also say, I understand you. And we've got to learn self-control and we have to learn how to respond differently. And so I do different things with my kids because they're all different. So I have this little book with him that lets him go through exercises about his feelings and emotions. So we try to do some of that together. I share scriptures with him. You know, I lead him through doing confession and repentance prayers, so that he can learn that those are all available to him. And at the end of the day, you know, I want all of them to know God loves them no matter what. And so do we.
I love that. I adore your kids, obviously, and want the listeners to know just a little bit more about them. We're getting to know Zoe, who's your oldest, and she's 14. So tell us a little bit about the ages and personalities of your other three kids.
Okay. Reese is 11, just about to turn 12 in another month. And he is very much like his dad. It's so amazing. It's amazing how kids can be so similar. But he has a very calm, sweet spirit about him. He enjoys learning new things. He loves learning about animals. He takes in information really quickly. He's very introspective, so that's another challenge as a parent, you know, to kind of pull him out. He's one that needs lots of questions thrown at him to get him to be able to really think about his feelings be able to verbalize them. And then next is Luke, who's 10. So you learned a little bit about him. Luke is also very creative. And I am not. So it's we're really, really different. And so I have learned to let go of a lot of things that, you know, ways that I think things should go, and recognize that God has designed him very differently, and allow him to kind of move in the ways that he needs to move to navigate even, you know, basic life skills of laundry and things like that. But he has a very sweet heart, very compassionate with that justice in him. He also has a lot of compassion, and he's just looking out for fairness in every way. And as he grows older, that's expanding beyond himself, which is always good to see. And then the littlest one is Piper, and she's 8. She is the baby of the family, but she doesn't really operate as a baby of the family. She's very independent. Many of the childhood milestones she actually did before our other kids. She was, you know, walking and talking before some of them were, and just always wanting to do on her own to show that she can do it. And she is very spunky, full of life. A lot of people say she's very much like me, loves to be around people and gets energy from people, has just a sweet heart, you know, thinks about people a lot, like little gifts that she wants to give people, or writes people's notes and things like that. So they're all amazing in their own ways.
It's true. Piper is, I think, your family comedian. Luke is up there too with his humor. But yeah, I remember I met Piper when she was 1 turning 2. And so she's been funny since then. And I just love hearing the stories of different things that she comes up with, and the way that she explains life and how she sees it, and her perspective on things has just always been so funny. And like you said, full of life. She just really is just a light, and is brings a lot of people joy. And so, Zoe, who has been someone that has inspired you? Obviously you are inspired by your mom, and you have this great relationship with the Lord. But who else in your life has kind of shaped who you are, and whether it be an author, or a person, or who might that be?
Wow, that's a really good question. I have a lot of people, so let me think of one. Oh, my dad is really inspiring to me. He's a really great, he's really a really good comforter. And he always knows what to say. I get really anxious a lot, and I always know that I can go to him, and he's always going to know what to calm me down. And my mom, too. They give me Bible verses to meditate on when I'm not feeling so well. And so he's just a really good comforter, and he's really shaped me. Ever since I was little, he's kind of instilled in me a deep love to have deep conversations and discuss expansive topics. And he's always just really been a very fun and engaging communicator and someone to talk to. And he's a wonderful listener and great at giving advice. So he's very inspiring to me. I love his personality, and he's very adventurous, and he's someone I look up to a lot.
Oh, I love that. Your dad is amazing. And something that y'all got into together a few years back was running. So you did, I think, over a year, but every day for a year, you ran at least a mile with your dad, no matter the weather, no matter the circumstances. So what was that season like, and what was the reward, and what did that teach you?
So I think, because I started that when I was almost 10. And so I think it really taught me endurance, and that was when I really started. I've fallen off a little bit since then, but I'm getting back on track. But I've really instilled a love in me for health and taking care of my body, because I realized how much I enjoyed running and exercising and the effects it had. Even at a young age, I realized I felt so much better. And my family's always prioritized health, so I wouldn't say I've ever been in a terrible situation as far as being healthy or unhealthy goes, but I just remember really loving running every day. And my dad is, he's just a really inspiring and passionate person. And so when he's passionate about something, you kind of can't help but smile and be like, wow, that I want to do that too, because you make it sound so fun. And so we ran 5Ks together, and he inspired me, and we would talk about running. We would go on long bike rides or runs and just discuss different things. And so at a young age, my dad said, okay, you need to have a reward. And at first I was like, well, I don't know. But then I remembered I had a couple of old computers blow up. And I was like, okay, could I get a new computer? He was like, sure. He said, if you run at least a mile every single day for a year, I'll get you a computer. And so this is the computer we're Skyping with you on right now. But I did that for 2 years, and I'm trying to get back on exercising again. But that was really special, because that was something that we both were so passionate about that we got to share our passion together. And I think the physical reward was a computer, but I think the spiritual and the mental and the health rewards I had after that were way more gratifying than a computer. And it really has instilled a lifelong love for trying to be healthy and exercise, and really nurtured me and my dad's relationship.
Oh, I love that. And yes, it's definitely great character building to do something every single day. I'm trying to learn how to do habits better this year. That's kind of my goal for the year. And I've dropped off a little bit over the past couple weeks since I'm a few weeks out from having a baby girl. But yeah, it's just amazing what the routine can do for our lives and our mental health and spiritual health, like you were saying, and also relational health with you and your dad. It's amazing. So Jen, tell us how you stay inspired through the school year. If anyone's listening and they're considering homeschooling, or for me, someone who's kind of just entering into motherhood, I have a 17-month-old and one on the way. And so for young mamas, how would you encourage them to stay inspired throughout the school year?
Yeah, that's a great question. The first thing I would say is find some people doing it around you that you can connect with, some kind of community, whether that means an organized co-op, or, you know, they have the part-time school kinds of thing, homeschool schools around the areas, or just a, you know, just a group of homeschooling moms that, you know, are like-minded and want to get together. But people is really important to be connected to, so that you can reach out on those days when you're like, ah, can I keep doing this? And they remind you that you can. So that's really important. The other thing is, of course, prayer, just staying connected with God, because it reminds me of why I do what I do. You know, I go to Him and I am reminded about how deeply loved I am by Him and how much He is pouring into me. And then it reminds me of that calling that He's given me with my kids. And then that really can spur me on, you know, even in whatever our circumstances is, whether we homeschool or we have situations at work or just family dynamics, you know, anytime we take our eyes off of God and put them on our circumstances, it never goes well. And so just reminding myself that He's in it, that He's the one really in control. I have no control ultimately. I'm just here to participate and be who He's called me to be and keep my eyes on Him. And then a practical thing is I read a lot of books. I read a lot of books on education, and I read a lot of fun books too that my kids are reading. But just that keeps me inspired when I remember the why spiritually behind why I'm doing it and the why educationally behind why I'm doing it. That really helps me stay spurred on to keep going. And then remembering to take breaks too. Because for me, as a homeschool mom, I look at, you know, where my kids are and where I think they should be. And sometimes we keep motoring through when really we should say, you know what, it's time to take a break. And that's okay. Because education is more than what they're getting in their books. You know, it's really how we're living our life. And so reminding myself to do those things too.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think that you do a really terrific job of self-care and rest, and you are a very fun person. So you are always down to have a good time, and I love that about you, because you are very driven, and you have a desire to instill in your kids these amazing qualities, which is sometimes can be, I'm sure, intense, and there's a lot to it and can be heavy sometimes. But the thing I love about you is that you really are extremely lighthearted, and you know how to have a great time. So I think that that is great feedback for someone who is considering or in homeschooling right now, is it is okay to take breaks. I think sometimes moms feel like they have to be all things to all people, to their spouse, to their kids, to their house. And I loved that when I was 19 or 20 years old, you invited me in to be a part of your family's story. And it was just such a blessing to me, and to get to know you guys and to see how a family worked outside of my own family. And just fell in love with the way that you guys parented, and always told you, Jen, whenever I have kids, I'm coming to you, because I'll have all the questions. And so, just super grateful for the example you've been to me. And I agree wholeheartedly about the community aspect too, is I have people asking me, what do you think about homeschooling or public school, or what will you do with your kids? And oftentimes my response is, I am definitely open to homeschooling as long as I have a community. And if my, if the people that I do life with are doing it, I think it will make the most sense. But if the people I do life with and trust the way that they're parenting and am doing life alongside them are doing something different, then I might also consider that. So I think that it's community does play a huge role in it, and is kind of the make or break factor in moms and dads feeling like they can kind of handle it. And also I think having your spouse on board and being willing to pick up some of the slack of the things that us as moms, if we're teaching, like aren't as good at and gifted at. I think that, the community aspect, the staying plugged in to God, and just being able to make sure that you give yourself grace and have breaks is really, really fantastic advice. So Zoe, back to you. What is your favorite memory that you have with your mom?
Ooh, let's see. I have a lot, because, you know, we've been together a long time. I don't know. I guess I just have, in general, she's a really fun person to spend time with. I think about the times, you know, she's such a party animal, so she's just a fun person to be around. So when we go places, we have the wonderful opportunity is I'm friends, best friends with a great girl who can get us into Disney. And we go to Disney quite a lot. And my mom is like the biggest Disney fan out there. She loves it. And she's just a fun person to be around. So I just love going places with her and laughing and having a fun time and going places we both love together. And just really spending time with her really makes me feel loved and appreciated. And so I just say in general, she's just a great person to go have fun with.
That's terrific. I agree wholeheartedly. And Jen, what is something that you are most proud about Zoe for?
Oh, my Zoe, she's wonderful. I have to say that the thing I'm probably most proud of her is her relationship with God, because it's hers. You know, we can talk to our kids as much as we can. We can, you know, live by example in the good and the bad, because they need to see it all. And she has really made it her own. You know, she has a relationship with God outside of us. And so to me, that there's nothing I could be more proud of. And just continuing to pray that grows, and God just continues to show her who she is, even outside of us and our family. You know, some of the things that we talk about at our house is, you know, your relationship with God has to become yours. It's kind of like our family's vegetarian too, right? So I don't know if all my kids will be vegetarians their whole lives. That's going to be their choice. But this is the things that, you know, that we're doing as a family and growing in. And ultimately, their relationship with God I mean, that's where it's all at. That's where we want to see all of them flourish, is just knowing God and going out in the world and making him known. Hmm. And I feel like Zoe, even at, I mean, you know, Lexi, even when she was 10, is just, she just has this connection with the Lord. And I know that Rob and I have a part of that, but ultimately, you know, that's really between, that's been between her and the Holy Spirit, and her having her heart and mind open and listening to him, even as a young girl. That's beautiful to me.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. Yeah, I would say that Zoe is one of the most inspiring. She is definitely the most inspiring young person that I know, and gives me hope for the future of our world. And I've always felt that way. And just as a person, the ways that she calls people by name and looks them in the eye, she just has this amazing confidence about her. And I do believe that comes from the Lord, and also comes from the way that you guys have parented her. So Zoe, what, if you could encourage the listeners with a piece of advice, what would it be?
Well, I guess, since the show is passionate and practical and encouraging women to pursue their passions, I would say, because I know recently from experience, that comparison is the thief of joy. And I think it's so important that we don't spend all our time looking at, so for example, I really love acting. That's my passion. But if I sat there every time I went to rehearsal and said, oh, she can hit that note better than me, or wow, her lines were so much more emotional than mine, if all we do is sit around and look at our passion and tear it apart and wish we were someone else, mm-hmm. we're never going to grow and improve. And I think it's important to know that maybe someone is better at something than you, but that does not mean that what you do is bad. That doesn't mean just because you think, everyone has opinions. So just because you think that what you do isn't as good as someone else doesn't mean that you can't make a living off of it, or that it isn't wonderful. And if God has called you to do something, then, you know, that's not something to take lightheartedly. If he's called you and has given you these gifts and passions, he wants you to use them to further his kingdom and glorify him. And so we shouldn't be afraid or wish we were better than someone else, because he loves us right where we are and wants us to be exactly where we are. And a quote I saw recently about this was, which has really helped me, was it said, in a garden, a flower doesn't watch the other flowers and compare itself to them. It just blooms. And I just think that's really beautiful to know that God has a specific plan for each and every one of us, and has given us each unique abilities, talents, and passions, and that each one of them is equal and can further the kingdom of heaven, or yeah, the kingdom of God.
That's incredible. I love it. And I often talk about that and feel very passionately that God's called me to women's ministry, which is why I do this podcast. And that is a huge part of my heart, is that women don't compare themselves to others' journeys or the pictures that they see on social media, or single women comparing themselves to married women, and et cetera, et cetera. It's all about focusing on what is God specifically called us to do. So thank you for that message, Zoe. That's incredible. And Jen, I'll ask you the same question. If you could encourage the listeners with a piece of advice, what would it be?
Well, if I'm thinking about moms and all those kind of people that homeschooling, I would say relax, take it day by day, trust God, know that he's in control, and that we have a beautiful opportunity to nurture and help our children grow to be people who love him and love others. And ultimately, it's not up to us. So we just got to stop freaking out.
Amen. I love that. I think that's also been a message that's kind of been a resounding message that I feel like God's speaking to me and wants me to speak to others, is just the rest that comes with abiding in him rather than striving for what we think that the world or God wants from us, or our spouse wants from us, or our friend wants from us. We have to keep our eyes on the prize, which is Jesus, and he will ultimately point us to where we're going, and he will lift the burdens that we feel are so heavy on us, and he will get us there. And so thank you both so much for being a part of Passionate and Practical. It's been just such a great time to catch up with you all. And I can't wait for this to go live because I know that it's going to touch so many people. And ladies, if you're listening, you are infinitely valuable. You were created with a unique set of gifts, skills, and talents. Created by God for his purpose and his glory. So go be his hands and feet to this broken world. Get it, girl. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day. If this message has encouraged you, then please click to subscribe and share with a friend who may be inspired by the message. Also, if you have an event coming up and you're looking for a speaker, click the link below to get in touch with me.